How many of you brought a Bible? Just hold it up. Let me see all the Bibles, because we are a Bible-believing church. Let me see them again. Hold up your phone or whatever. And I'm still amazed at all you gray-haired folk that have a tablet. Amen. But it doesn't matter. As long as you have the Word of God, then that's all that we don't care, in other words. As long as you got your Word, because the Word is really what's going to change your life, and I want you to be used to coming to church and bringing your Word. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And when you get there, say amen. I want to hear that you're there, because I want you to see what God has for us all this morning. John chapter 4. Now, I'm going to tie this message in to the resurrection, so just stand by. But I want us to begin reading John chapter 4, verse 1, when the King James says, "When, therefore, the Lord knew how the prophecies had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. Then he came into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob," listen to me, "gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there." Now this is the story of the woman at the well. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied," if you have a pen, underline the word wearied, "being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour." And then it talks about this woman coming. Now the question this morning, and I know we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but the question in this text this morning is, why was Jesus at this well? Why was he? Because you've got to know why Jesus even came to the well. And it actually says it in verse 6. "Being wearied." In other words, he was very tired. Now listen to this. He had already baptized his disciples. Then he left Judea. He headed to Galilee. I looked up how far it is from Judea to Galilee, and it was about 70 to 80 miles. Now he's walking, right? He's walking at this time. But right in the middle of it, he stopped at a town called Samaria, which is about 44 miles that he had walked. So here the Word of God is trying to teach us something, that Jesus was tired. I begin to look at a few things about this word tired. How tired actually was Jesus? Because that was why he was at the well. He was wearied. And here a lot of people, probably in this crowd or watching us, wherever you're watching today, is tired in some ways. I mean, I know everybody comes out on this one service called Easter, resurrection of Jesus. But a lot of times people don't come to church because they're just giving out on the outside. Now, ministers tend to give out even on the inside. And I mean, they get tired, and, you know, because there's a lot of responsibility to what I do, being the pastor of this church. You can't imagine the calls that I get a lot of times in the middle of the night. I mean, I'll never forget a young boy called many years ago. It was about 3 a.m, and he had just come on to a wreck, and he called Pastor Corey here. 3 a.m, I answered. And he was distraught. I mean, he was moved in a very, very emotional way, and really is in a negative way, because he came onto a wreck where a car had about three people in it, had crashed under an 18-wheeler. And you can't imagine what he saw when he looked into that car. And doesn't really matter, you know, what he saw, but it was bad. And he's calling me. And then I had to minister to him. I mean, just a couple of days ago, I'm trying to get a driveway out here and do a new driveway. And I just called the TxDOT guy and broke my heart when he called me back 2 days later apologizing that he hadn't been in contact with me because his 24-year-old son is in his last days battling cancer. 24 years old, you see. I ministered to a man that I never have even met for 45 minutes, giving him comfort, because again, there's a lot of confusion of why is this happening? Why would God allow it to happen to a 24-year-old boy that is supposed to bury his mom and dad, and the mom and dad is burying him possibly in just a few days? That he said it's almost here. You know, people get really, really give out. And here Jesus has walked over 40 miles and he's just give out. When I looked up this word tired, it's obvious, because it's in need of sleep or rest. Just being weary, worn out, exhausted, fatigued, tired out, overtired, sleepy, drowsy, sapped, dog tired, it even says, spent, drained, jet lagged, played out, debilitated, prostrate, enervated, I mean jaded, the list goes on and on, low, dead, a dead beat, dead tired, dead on one's feet, I found out, ready to drop, bushed, you're just flat bushed, worn to a frazzle, shattered, burn out, knackered, whacked, or, we understand this one, pooped. Now again, I'll throw us back into the true meaning of what we're here to celebrate, the resurrection. But listen to me. Jesus was at this well, had water. And we've got to understand that here, Jesus, that was 100% man, still anointed as 100% God, but still had to go through everything that we go through. So the question this morning is, are you tired? I did a video one time, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, about are you tired? I had thousands, hundreds, over 100,000 views of just a message on are you tired? Because a lot of tired are just flat beat, pooped. And here I'm trying to get us fired back up this morning to carry on. We don't have time, ladies and gentlemen, to back up, look at the things of the past. No, the Word of God teaches us with some excitement to look forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. But man, you might be here and just give out. Maybe you're give out with church, with all the religious things that church brings. I saw a study that said in the 80s, almost 68 to 70% of people claimed they were Christians, and I'm not saying, you know, always in church, but regularly attended church. And just the last year they did the same study, and now only 40% of Americans actually go to church regularly. It seems like the busyness of life is just drained us in a way that we are just flat give out over the busyness of this life. And you know what that affects? Our spiritual life. Because then we want to sleep in on Sunday instead of go get fed the true Word of God. Here Jesus is just flat give out. He's baptized the disciples. He's walked 40 plus miles and still has 30 plus to go to get to Galilee. And he sits by this well. And a woman comes. And he begins to minister to this lady. But after being tired, he was still a blessing. In verse 10, you see that he says, if you had just only known God's gift, because the woman actually asked, you need some water? Because we all know that water and food is what gives us energy. That's why we pray, hopefully, even at restaurants, Father, bless the food, nourish the food, sanctify it by the Word of God with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for providing it in Jesus' name. Amen. And then you eat. Because food, the right food, is really what gives you the strength and energy to then carry on. Because, see, a lot of people stay at the well. Man, they don't ever get up and move on. But, see, this morning I want to talk to you about getting revived. Because, see, that's what Jesus did. He got revived. Man, he was raised from the dead. But in this story, he's at this well. He's probably needing some energy, right? I mean, you just heard all the definitions of wearied. He's wearied in the Amplified. I like how it says, and Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down to rest by the well. Man, there's so many things that I think could teach us great lessons right here. Because, see, I don't want you just coming to church this one Sunday. I want you to make a lifestyle of who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Bible says you're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ, the light. Come on, y'all. I mean, it's time that we start getting excited, and I believe that's why God is using the Western world. We're here at a cowboy church. You don't have to be a cowboy church to come to any church, including a cowboy church. But the reason God is using the Western world is because in the culture of the cowboy, we're probably the last culture that is masculine and bold enough to tell the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Say amen to that, y'all. Because I'm telling you, we need a society that hears the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in love. That's why I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to lose a 501c3 if I have to not say what the Word of God says. By golly, if marriage is the way God created it, then it's between a man naturally born and a naturally born woman. Anyway, that's not my message. This woman at the well began to get ministry from Jesus. And verse 13, look at verse 13 if you're there. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." He was beginning to teach her something. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give," Jesus is talking here, "shall never thirst." In other words, there's something about understanding the true resurrection of Jesus. Because, man, he didn't stay in that grave. He didn't stay beat up from walking down to the hill of Golgotha or up. He wasn't going to stay in the agony that he went through by taking the beating of that cat of nine tails over his body. Remember, it was designed because the cat of nine tails is a whip that had nine tails that was designed to slice the body open. Now, before that happened, before Jesus took that whipping, for all of us, by the way, preachers, the Bible calls them priests, had what they called buffeted and then open-handed slapped Jesus in the face because he had said he was the Son of God. I mean, preachers, how dare you say you're the Son of God? And the Bible says, there, I believe there's like 110 of them, pop, and then they buffeted him the backhand, whack. So his face was just really, really beat up. Not like those pictures you see on your walls with just a little bit of blood coming down. No. The Bible, really, when you study it out, Jesus was very unrecognizable. I'm talking about our Jesus here. The one that did not have to die. I mean, I can imagine just in this story of the woman at the well, he's just give out and he's so tired that he sends off the disciples to go get food. He said, man, I can't go another step. Go get us some food. And then when they come back, guess what happens? He's already ministered to this woman. And he said, hey, if you drink of what I have, you'll thirst no more. And Jesus, the disciples come back and they're like, did someone give him food? Why is he so fired up? See, the point is, man, when you serve God and you stay hooked in the Word of God, you understand the true resurrection of Jesus, you will thirst no more. I mean, you'll be satisfied all your life. You'll have the peace of God that passes understanding. Because I'm sure that man that is dealing with a 24-year-old son dying is going to need revived in some way. I can imagine his emotional state. But you know what he needs? Is exactly what I attempted to give him for 45 minutes on a phone call. I tried to show him that the Bible says, and I just asked point blank. I said, well, y'all go to church? Absolutely. We are born again. Jesus is our Lord. I didn't even have to ask that. I mean, I said, well, then the Bible says, sir, listen to me. The Bible says that death has no sting. It has a sting if you don't know where the person's going. If you don't know they're going to heaven, then it's got a sting. But when you know where they're going, even at 24 years old, then death has no sting. You know why? Because we get to see them again someday. It's a terrible thing of trying to figure out in your mind why. Why did he get this ugly disease or whatever called cancer? Well, I don't know the answer. And I told that man, I said, you know, I'm not a preacher that thinks I know it all. Because there's no preacher that knows everything about the Word of God. The Bible says we only know in part. Because if we know everything, then we really don't need Jesus. And I just ministered. Broken. I mean, I came home and told Jamie, I said, man, so saddened that, and you can tell he was just bawling on the phone. And I just began to try to give him food that would really change his life. Spiritual food. But how many people are so give out that they give up? They give up on God. Oh, they'll come to an Easter service, but God wants you all the time. He knows the number of hairs on your head. I mean, that's relatively easy. I mean, there ain't that many up there. He knows every sparrow that flies. He cares about you. I'll never forget this story as I begin to close. Me and a friend named Trey Johnson, he won Rookie of the Year a while back, Healing in the PRCA team pro. And we lived in Lubbock. We just started in ministry in the 90s. And we would practice. And the only time we would practice would be about 5 or 6 in the morning. because Trey had, he was going to Texas Tech. We lived in Lubbock. And so we'd practice early. And I noticed an older gentleman, looked like he was in his 70s or 80s, would come at 6 o'clock every day and sit on the fence and watch us. He never said anything. So after several weeks and maybe even months of us tending to business, because we didn't have a lot of time, so we didn't have a lot of visiting time, we would practice. I would tend to the horses. Trey would go to class or whatever at Tech. And one day, I decided to go up to this man watching us and just ask him how he was doing. And I'll never forget his response. He said, "Well, I'm just trying to get a house sold and you know, just trying to get some peace in my life." And being a preacher, because we was in the ministry, I just said, "Well, have you ever thought about asking God to help you?" And this is what he said. He said, "Son, God don't have time for my little old problems." And as if just immediately the roles reversed, where I wasn't the grandson anymore, because I was about 24, 25 at this time, and I became the granddad and he became the son. And I said, "How wrong you are, sir." I mean, I had a little attitude. I said, "Because God so cares about everything about you that he knows everything about you right now and what you're thinking. He so cares about everything." But see, in his mind, he thought God was so far up there that he had to yell really loud to get his attention, and that God was not interested in his little issues. But really what happened is he got so give out and tired that he started having negative thoughts about God. "God doesn't love me." Here's a woman that got major ministry at a well, Jacob's well, just because God said, "Hey, you might drink of that water." The disciples brought the food. "And you may drink of, eat of that food. But what I really have for you, this word of God will satisfy you and live longer, and it will last way further than all your give out problems." Are you tired this morning? Are you give out over a few things? Maybe you're having relationship problems. Maybe it's financial problems. Maybe a doctor has said some negative report to you. Having a little bit of gray hair now, I understand. That one little pain can ruin a lot of things in your mind. I mean, just have a little pain right here. And what does the devil do? Uh-oh, cancer. Well, as a believer that is full on the Word of God, you know what I would say? Well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I begin to speak this Word of God. If I'm give out, you know what I tell this body? You know the body is just a body of flesh that houses the Spirit of God. You remember we're in three parts, the Spirit, because really that's what gets born again, is your spirit man. That's what gets born again. Then it lives in this fleshly body, and then it has a soul. Spirit, soul, body. Well, the body acts up a lot. It wants to eat stuff that you shouldn't. My wife is always, bless her heart, always fixing that green stuff. "Well, I like chicken fried steak, okay?" Come on, say amen, boys. Amen. Okay, thank you. "But I need to eat it." Why? Well, because it's good for you. But the body always acts up. Well, when it acts up, you know what I say? Line up, body, in Jesus' name. I mean, see, why don't we start saying what the Word of God says? Because really, that's what Jesus is actually saying. I mean, your body says that, you know, there's lots of things that actually make this body tired. I wrote a couple of them down real fast. Like Medications. Now, there's a lot of medications that sap energy. How about not sleeping well? You having trouble sleeping? God's wanting to say, hey, get resurrected, praise God. Come on, get lively again. Get into the Word of God. Missing key nutrients. Being anemic, blood, having too few red cells, really. Heart issues. What about this one? Being anxious and depressed. Having the fear all over you. There's a time that you've got to finally, like this woman did, because of Jesus and His spiritual food that He gave her, there's got to be a time when you start getting the spiritual food so that you can say, fear, be gone. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When you're anxious, that's when you say, no, I refuse to be anxious because I have the joy of the Lord. I'm more than a conqueror through God because He loves me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You know, all these things, you know, they may call you fanatical, but praise God, it's better than being depressed. It's better than accepting sickness and disease. The Word of God says, no sickness and disease shall come near your body. Well, what's wrong with actually living for God? What's wrong with finally saying, you know what? I'm a born-again Christian. I'm in a different kingdom, and I'm going to start acting like that. Because that's all that Jesus was trying to tell this woman at the well. And all it did to this woman, you want me to tell you? It resurrected her.
Amen.
She had life again. Mom, my mom's here. I honor all my family, Jamie's mama and sister, and my daughter and son are here, and my nephew is here, and my daughter's boyfriend and parents are here. That's a miracle that they're in church. Because what I mean by that is, that's a good thing. And look how pretty she looks. Stand up, baby. No, I'm kidding, don't. I'm surprised she was going to. I figured she'd be like, dude. I'm so honored that they're here, though. Amen. Just because they're a part of me. Amen. Now listen, but a lot of times, man, we get so give out that it's easy to get so busy in life that all these definitions of being tired come on us. And we stop saying the true Word of God. We go back to the days of Babylon. Really, instead of, you know what? No, I'm a Christian. I'm going to serve you, God. I may make mistakes, but thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. Say amen to that. Amen. Listen to me. As I close, in Luke's gospel, the Bible talks about resurrecting your life. And sometimes read it, Luke chapter 24, 1 through 6, is just the story of resurrection. I mean, because that's when Jesus wasn't in the tomb any longer. The things that we celebrated about. The point of this message this morning is to get you guys fired back up, that you put every bit of trust and hope in the Lord Jesus and nothing else. Come on, wake up. Are you tired? Are you give out? If you are, there's a resurrection day that we're celebrating. Let's get a hold of the Word of God. You know what would revive you a lot if you're not born again? Is to get saved. Yeah. Give your heart to Jesus. You may be tired in some areas. Maybe you have a little bit of doubt about this God stuff, and you only came because grandmama and mama drug you here, or your wife drug you here. But salvation is really the only hope we have, y'all. Come on, y'all. The only hope we have. That's why I was trying to tell you that I think the culture of a cowboy is that it's time we get fired up. We're bold enough to get our shoulders back and our chest out and stand on something. And the only thing to stand on is this Word of God, y'all. Because look at the world. It's getting worse. It's getting, they're going so away from how our country was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, well, better not go there. Because I want to real bad, but no, I can't. Listen to me. Whatever is going on in your life, God wants you to get resurrected because Jesus is alive. He wants to bless you. He wants to impart spiritual food to you so that you can carry on. I told that man real fast. I told that man and his 24-year-old son dying, I said, really, your only source of hope is Jesus. That's it. And I told him, I said, you can't die with your son. You've got to carry on. Carry on. That's why the Bible calls us the army of the Lord. Because a good soldier carries on. Get up now. Yeah, maybe you need to shake the dust off. Maybe you need to polish up. But then there's a time that you get up, turn around, and start over again. And carry on. Don't you go back to the days of unbelief. No, stay hooked. No matter what you've been through, no matter the negative things going on in your life, stay hooked to the Word of God because we need a resurrection power to revive us again. And we may see a lot of bad stuff out there, y'all, but we don't have to participate in all the bad stuff. You know why? Because we have Jesus on our side. Now, as I close, are you born again? In other words, if God and the Bible is real, and it is. And you stand before God one day. By the way, listen to me. Every person in here is going to be standing before God by themselves. Not with your friends, not with your family, by yourself. That's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then God helps us. He said, but choose life. Choose the blessing, please. He can't make you. He can't make you give your heart to the Lord right now. All he can do is, I said it before you. It's going to be up to you that does it. You're going to be standing before God individually, and based on what you do here on earth is going to be what God says to you when you leave this earth. I want him to say, well done, thou good and servant, because you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that we celebrate his resurrection today. But if you choose, you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, you have that right, y'all. God is not like some preachers beating you up over the head with the Bible. No, he's a gracious God. He says, hey, please, please. Jesus said, I would beg you to give your heart to him. Please give your heart to me. But I can't make you. So it's going to be up to you to say, Jesus, come into my life. If you do that and you're standing before God, he'll say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven. Oh, man, it'll make an Episcopalian shout right there. Heaven! But the Bible says God is not a man that he can lie. If you choose, you have a will, y'all, to not have anything to do with this God stuff and not receive Jesus. If you choose that when you stand before God, because you'll still stand before him, he'll have to say, depart. The reason I travel all over this country is I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care what you've done to me. I don't care how much you've talked bad about me as a pastor. It does not matter to me. I'm not moved. I don't get upset. Used to. I have confidence in my salvation. The point this morning is I don't want anyone going to the place called hell. So this morning, here's what we're going to do as we close. I've already asked you, are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? What would God say if you stood in front of him? If you don't know, I want you to pray a prayer with me. Can't make you, but I'm going to ask you to pray it. Not by yourself. The congregation that is born again is going to pray this prayer with you. We're all going to pray it together. I'm just asking you, please, give your heart to the Lord Jesus. because he's the only begotten son. He's the one that we celebrate his birth called Christmas, and we celebrate his resurrection called Easter. Do you know him? Is he the Lord of your life? If he's not, make him the Lord right now. So what we're going to do, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. You know what it says? It uses this word in the King James called thou. If thou will confess with your mouth, that means out loud. When you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, he says, believe that God raised him from the dead. You wouldn't be at this service if you didn't believe in the resurrection, because that's what we're celebrating. So it says, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead, thou is us, shalt be, say it with me, saved. Saved from what, preacher? Hell. It's a good start. That's a bad place. The Bible says it's so hot that you'll beg forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It'll never end for a drop of water on your tongue. Don't you dare choose hell. No, choose life. Choose Jesus. Choose heaven. And then after you do that and you give your heart to Jesus, one church service at a time, one Bible study at a time, one scripture at a time, you'll start learning who you are in Christ. I'm telling you, it'll be the greatest day of your life if you just give your heart to the Lord Jesus. And the only way to do that is ask him into your heart. So with every head bowed, please, and every eye closed, just in respect of your neighbor and heads bowed in respect to God. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, all I'm going to ask you to do is right where you're at to pray a prayer. And let's pray it out loud and mean it. And I want you to ask Jesus into your heart. And if you do that, I'm telling you, you'll bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. So if there's anyone here that's never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do it by praying this prayer right now with all of us. You ready? Let's do it out loud. Believers, I want you to also pray this prayer again. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer right now. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins, because this day is my God day, because I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. And I'm saved now. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. Now, before you look up real fast, if you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus into your heart, don't ever be ashamed of that, y'all. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. But with no one looking around, if you just gave your heart to Jesus and you prayed that prayer, I want you, at the count of three, I want you to just simply raise your hand up. And here's why I have you raise it up. You're saying, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. If you gave your heart to Jesus, when I say three, just shoot that hand up and then just put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you. Gosh, all those hands. I know there's a lot of them. The guys wasn't ready, but I make them be so ready. There's a lot of hands. If you don't mind, if you just raise it up, no one's looking. I want to give you a Bible. Tons over here. If you just raise it up, we're not going to embarrass you. We just want to give you a Bible, and then you can, and that's it. No one looking around, please. If you just raise your hand and you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to have this Bible, okay? Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me, everybody. There was tons of hands that was raised. Listen to me. I I know that there were a lot more hands that were raised that didn't get a Bible. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to have them set out, just put it on a chair or something when they leave. There's going to be Bibles. If you raise your hand, I want you to get a Bible. Because that's what starts your walk with the Lord. Amen? I mean, the Bible is your way of living. It's your manuscript. So without the Bible, you're not going to know much. I also want you, if you gave your heart to Jesus, in that Bible is a little card that says, "Now that I've received Jesus." And I want you to fill it out. Let us know. In other words, we don't want you to just put the helmet of salvation on and then not know what else to do as a Christian. That's why you come to church. I'm not saying, you got to try to become perfect immediately. I'm just saying, live your life for the Lord. But that Bible is what's going to help you. Then we'll help you. We have a Bible study on Tuesday. That's when you get to know people. If you're not from around here and you just gave your heart to Jesus, find a good Bible-believing church where you live. Amen? Because that's what helps feed you. I didn't say there's going to be perfect. I don't know of a church that's perfect. But that's where you get spiritual food, because you get to learn about the Word of God. If you live around here, you don't have a church, I don't know about you, but I believe this is the greatest church I know of. Amen. I better say that, huh? But if this is not a church for you, then I want you to find a good church to plant into. Amen? All right. Did y'all have a good time? Oh, we're going to have fun right now. All the kiddos are going to go outside after I pray, and they've already probably got the whole arena filled with some eggs. Some of them might have some money. You never know. So we're going to have fun. But remember, as we're hunting eggs, it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus. Say amen to that, y'all. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. What's up, girl? Now let me interpret that, because that was in lots of Texas accent. She said, "My leg popped, and it don't hurt no more." Amen. All right. Praise God. All right, stand to your feet, and we'll be.